Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
There are limitations on how much you're able to accomplish in life. And one of the biggest limitations is entirely in your control. It's simply this: how much pain or discomfort are you willing to endure? The number one thing that prevents us from doing great things is our fear of discomfort. Just think of the things you could accomplish if you could just reduce that fear. And not only could you accomplish things, but you would greatly increase your defenses against sin in your life. When I became an adult and got married and had kids, I realized part of being an adult is willingness to suffer. I mean, there's just things that maybe I shied away from when I was a little boy, but now I just have to take a deep breath and roll up my sleeves and just be a man, right? If we can learn to do that, to adopt that attitude when we face temptation, if we boldly plow right past our fear of suffering, our margin of victory would increase exponentially. We're studying James 1, verses 13 to 15. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he's dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
If I have this amazing ally above, why do I lose so many battles? In many cases, the reason is this. Even though I know I have this ally above, the reason I fail so often is because I'm oblivious to the enemy within. Look at verse 14. Don't think it's God, verse 13, but here's what it is, verse 14. Each one is tempted when, by his own desire, he's dragged away and enticed. See, the enemy within is my desires, my own desires. The problem isn't God. The problem isn't my spouse. It's not my kids. It's not the people around me. It's not even Satan. The problem is me. So, why does James tell us all this? Does he just want us to get even more discouraged and down on yourself than you already were? No, he's not trying to get you depressed here. James tells us this because he wants you to have victory. And that's not going to happen until you understand something about what powers and fuels temptation. Do something about renegade desires. Hit the power plant. And if you do that, Satan's enticements won't work on you in that area. But if those desires remain, then Satan, or no Satan, you're going to fall over and over and over and over. So how does it all work? I mean, exactly how does this work? Because we know desire by itself is not a bad thing, right? It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Desire is a great gift from God. It's what powers your life. It's the batteries of life. It keeps you moving. But when it goes bad, then it can turn into our worst enemy. So what makes desire go bad? James uses two words here from the hunting and fishing world in verse 14. He says, each one is tempted when, by his own desire, he's dragged away and enticed. Now that word dragged away could also be translated drawn out, and I think that's probably the better translation here. The picture is an animal being drawn out of its lair or its place of safety. And then the word enticed is to capture with bait. So the idea is a fish might be hiding way down deep underneath a big boulder, away, predators can't see it, nobody can get to it, it's safe. A fox will go down inside a hole, it's safe. A deer will run into the real thick timber, it's safe. And as long as they stay in there, they're safe, but when they get drawn out of there into the open, and then they're vulnerable, they can get lured into a trap with some bait. And that's the second word, enticed, lured with bait. That's what temptation is. That's what temptation is. It's bait on a hook. It's a baited hook. That's temptation. And it seems to me that in all our temptations, there's really only two kinds of bait that Satan uses. Pleasure and avoidance of pain. I think that pretty much covers it, right? The promise of pleasure is a bait for sins like, you know, sins of the flesh, overeating, drinking, drugs, sexual sin, bragging, man-pleasing, that's all trying to get pleasure. Avoidance of pain is the bait for sins like trying to get out of trouble, lying to get yourself out of trouble, right? That's the bait. Or going along with the crowd instead of standing up for righteousness because you're afraid. That's avoiding suffering. Or holding on to bitterness or anger because you don't want the discomfort of humbling yourself and actually reconciling with the person. It's just too unpleasant to think about. You're trying to avoid that pain, and so you give in. So either pleasure or avoidance of pain, that's the bait. Now, is bait evil? Is bait the problem? No. If you're a fish, the problem is not the worm. It's the hook, right? Yeah. The desire for pleasure and the desire to avoid pain are fine. They're the very same motivations that God uses many times in Scripture to motivate us to go His way. Temptation happens when one of those things, desire for pleasure, desire to avoid pain, attaches to something that God has forbidden, some hook. A couple weeks ago, I was staying up in a cabin in Estes Park, and I woke up in the morning, and as soon as I opened my eyes, I looked out the window, and I saw this deer, just right at dawn, this deer walking through the woods. And I'm a hunter. To me, spotting a deer in the woods is and getting a good shot off is just a very exciting, exhilarating thing. If you're not a hunter, you just trust me on that. It's fun for me. Now, is there anything inherently wrong with the desire for me to feel the thrill of that of hunting? The answer is no. There's nothing wrong with that. God let us do that. But in this particular case, that very legitimate desire for pleasure happened to be attached to something that was off limits. I didn't have a license, it wasn't hunting season, and I was in a residential area. So shooting this deer in that context was just like all kinds of illegal, right? So the bait was the desire to hunt, which isn't a bad thing. The hook was, in this particular case, the only way to fulfill my desire would have been to cross the line and do some sinful action. That's the way it works. It's fine to desire money, but if getting it requires some sin, it's bait on a hook. It's fine to desire sex, but if it's with someone that you're not married to, it's bait on a hook. It's fine to desire respect, but if it requires boasting to get it, it's bait on a hook. So this is the picture that James paints for us. You're safe and secure in your hole, in your lair, in God's righteous path. You're safe. Nothing can touch you there. You experience pain there, but nothing can actually hurt you, ultimately hurt you, cause you harm. Even the pain you experience there does you only good. So you're perfectly safe as long as you stay in the security of God's path. But desire can lure you out of that safe place. And it can entice you to go for the bait and bite down on the hook or get caught in a trap.
Give some thought to the kinds of temptations you have trouble with. Sort it out in your mind. What is the bait and what is the hook? That is, what is the part that's good, the pleasure or the avoidance of pain that's in itself is good? And what is the hook, the sin that good thing is attached to? If you're a fish, you'll live a lot longer if you can learn how to see past the bait to the hook.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.